From the National Radio Club, this is the DX Audio Service.
Hi, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope for March 2001. Last month, Mark Durenberger visited the KRVN transmitter out in rural Nebraska. This month, Ernie Wesolowski sent us a tape of the KRVN 50th anniversary broadcast.
May 1st, 1948, 43 farm leaders signed the Articles of Incorporation. In a classic example of bipartisanship and cooperation, members of four major farm organizations, the Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, the Grange, and the Co-op Council, signed off on this far-fetched idea. Critics and skeptics were plentiful, a fact not lost on Brown as he addressed the 50th annual meeting of the Rural Radio Association last November.
When we first talked about the farmer-rancher-owned radio station, someone of our critics said, it'd be a cold day in hell before a bunch of farmers got together and had their own radio station. Well, it was. February 1st, 1951, it was 20 below zero.
While the winds howled outside, inside, Max Brown addressed the listening audience for the first time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful morning in Nebraska. Especially wonderful for me because it's my pleasure to say welcome to KRVN. And to say this welcome in the name of thousands of farm families who own and control KRVN. Our program is designed for you, rural Nebraska. Once again, welcome to KRVN in the name of the farm families in Nebraska that own the station.
We just heard Max Brown, KRVN's original general manager. Max, welcome. Does it seem like 50 years?
No, it happened too fast.
I bet going back to 1946, 1947, those early days, did you ever think that you'd be here in the year 2001?
Goodness, no. We had trouble looking down the road even 1 year.
Let's talk about those early days and the... I'm not sure if everyone realized how difficult those days were, how tough those days were from a financial standpoint. We'll get into that a little bit, but it was really hand-to-mouth in those early days, wasn't it?
Well, in some ways, the first year we were on the air, we broke even. We had a good team on the staff. All the folks on the staff were trained radio personnel, except me. And they were training me, by the way. The first year, it went pretty good. And then we got too ambitious. We decided to buy a station in Omaha. And we bought KOIL, a 10,000-watt station on 1290 on the dial. At the same time, there was a slight depression in the livestock prices, the market. And we were raising our money for this station in Omaha with pledges from farm people in eastern Nebraska. Well, those prices were so tough that they couldn't come through with their pledges. Well, our Caribbean board, they were all farmers, they were in the same shape, so they understood. So we just had to cancel them. And so we sold our sales contract, our purchase contract, for KYL after about a year and a half. So we lost $25,000. And that was a lot of money in those days. And so that put us in bad financial shape for a year or two or more.
Speaking of elected officials, we're honored to have a special guest in the studio. Now let's turn it over to KRVN Farm Director Mike LaPorte. Mike?
Well, thank you, Dave, and it is our pleasure to have in the studio with us today Governor Mike Johanns. And Governor, welcome on this occasion for helping us to make it a real special event.
Well, Mike, thanks for the welcome, but I have to tell you, this is my honor to be here today. KRVN is so much a part of Nebraska's history since the first day it went on the air that it, you know, I could just go on and on about that. And so it's an honor for me to be here, and I just appreciate being asked.
Governor, we obviously have a lot of challenges in agriculture. Maybe this is a good time to look back over the 50 years that we've had. I know you haven't been around for each and every, well, maybe most of those 50 years, but some of those you don't recall, being the young fellow that you are. But and the challenges we might have ahead for agriculture. Any thoughts?
Well, I do have some thoughts. You know, this does about span my lifetime. I was born in 1950, so I've been here for most of that time. Didn't remember some of it, but... Well, you know, agriculture has certainly had some tough times in the last couple of years, and it's heartbreaking to see. We went through some very, very difficult times in the 1980s. You know, that was a very, very sad time for agriculture, not only in this state, but really across the country.
Well, in the history of KRBN, there have been two general managers, one of them the father, one of them the son, and the current general manager, Eric Brown, who's been our general manager for 22 years with us here. Eric, any questions for the governor?
One quick question, Governor. You've traveled all 93 counties a number of times now. What more can we do to help you and the others in the state capitol in Lincoln?
Well, you do so much. I mean, part of your mission is getting that information out, and I say to people all the time, you know, I don't have a telephone number where I can dial up every Nebraskan and tell them what's going on. I need KRBN and other pieces of the media to get that message out there. So I have to tell you, KRBN has been outstanding for me to work with. And Eric, this is a pat on your back, but a pat on the back of your staff. So professional, always willing to work with us. It's just been an outstanding relationship. And I'll share something with you now that I'm governor. I always felt as a candidate, if I could land an interview on KRBN, that was worth a lot of money to me, you know, to get my voice out there to all parts of the state. And now as governor, when I can come out and say publicly how much I admire and respect what you have done, what your dad has done, what your staff has done, I'm going to do it because I just think you're such a valuable piece of what Nebraska is all about. Not just to the ag sector. That's a piece of it and a very important piece. But a lot of people listen to KRBN.
You've come to Scotts Bluff many times with our sister station, KNDB, and also to West Point, KTIC, so the broadcast can cover the whole state. But never before in the history has a governor ever spun the Monogram Money Wheel.
Oh, wow.
Mike, you want to give some fanfare?
Well, of course, this is the famous Monogram Money Wheel, and most people, when they see it for the first time, aren't as impressed as what they envision it in their mind. And I'm not sure. Dave, describe this for us. Do the play-by-play.
What is the diameter of that? Maybe 5 inches?
Yeah.
And it's a little wheel, and a little ball bearing flies around. If you go too fast, the ball bearing will fly out, sometimes catching your pants, and you can't find it. All the letters are there. Look, the governor will testify. All the letters are there. The comment is, you never call my initials. And the answer is, the reason we don't call their initials is we're afraid they'll quit listening. We asked Max where Monogram money came from. He said it was an idea that evolved at a meeting here, early meetings of KRBN. So if we're ready, the rules are, same as always, 3 initials. Call in the 2-minute time limit. You can have to be able to talk on the phone in order to win. The prize today is $50 or a pardon from the governor. Let's see. No, we'll go for the $50.
Okay.
Pardon from the governor.
Yeah, right.
Let's give it a spin here and see what you get, governor.
All right.
First spin.
There we go. We've spun it.
And you will learn if you spin it too fast, it takes time for it to stop.
Yeah.
So. Okay. And he's tipping it towards his own initial.
Yeah, and it landed. It landed on... What do we see there, Mike? Is that it?
I believe that's an O.
Okay, I think you're right. That's an O.
O is an Oscar. O is an Opal. O is an Olga. All right, let's go for the middle initial. All O's. While he's spinning, if you've never won at Monogram Money, be listening to KRBN next week. We have a special announcement for all of you who've never won Monogram Money. And good, the 5-4 phone line is tied up, too, so that'll make it interesting.
We landed on M.
M. As in Marvin, Melody, what is the woman's name? Margaret. Okay, so we have O-M, and the last name.
Wait a minute. The men's names would be?
Oh, Mike.
Mike.
Excuse me.
We keep trying to prompt this guy, and he's not paying any attention to us. All right, one more time.
For work shortly.
Yeah, well, probably my last day.
One more time, right?
Last name. So if Oscar, Mabel, and then the last name would be...
Okay. Here we go. We're just about there. Okay, that looks like
we're back to
We are back to
Olson. So Oscar Mabel Olson. If you have the initials OMO, call 308-324-5454. You will win the $50. What a magnificent job you did. You didn't even come up with X.
Well, yeah. Could you come back every afternoon at 4:15? And
it's a deal. I'll be back at every afternoon.
We certainly do. Thank you for coming out and helping us, and we'll see if anybody claims the pardon or the money.
Well, it's great to be out here, and let me also acknowledge that this is KRVN Day all across the state of Nebraska. Thank you for your great work for 50 years for not only Nebraska agriculture, but all Nebraskans.
You'll only be 100, and I'll be 101 when we do the centennial, so you're invited.
50 more years, we'll be around, right?
Yeah. That's right, you're right.
We come back in the spring, and we will dedicate here with our sculpture, which will be out front. So we'll give you a date sometime in June. We have a beautiful sculpture in bronze of a farm family listening to the radio on February 1st, 1951.
Outstanding.
Governor, before you leave, would you share with us one more time that story about the campaign and the stop and, one I'm talking about, the tie-in? We always get a kick.
This wedding story is what you're asking about. Well, Stephanie and I did tons of parades across the state, and one night we're headed to Sutton, Nebraska to do our fourth parade of the day, and we go by a sale barn, and I noticed all the cars, the parking lot's filled with cars, and I said to Steph, they got a sale there tonight, so if the cars are still there, when we come back, we got to stop, and, we'll shake hands, and the auctioneer will introduce us. Well, we go off, do this parade and stuff, and we come back, parking lot's still filled with cars, we get out of the car, it's a very warm summer evening, we're heading across the parking lot, we look up, and everybody in that sale barn's looking out at us, and Mike, they had suits and tuxedos on, and This wasn't an auction at all. This was a family wedding, and we were about to crash it. Well, we crashed that wedding. I participated in the dollar dance. I got my picture taken with the sisters. But many months after that, after I'm governor of Nebraska, we're standing in the reception line at the inaugural, and this young couple comes up, and this very nice young lady says to me, she says, "Fair's fair, Governor, you crashed my wedding. I'm crashing your inaugural."
And the tie-in, of course, is that is our very own Adam Smith and his wife.
That was Adam Smith and his wife, Leanne, I believe is her name. And yes, I crashed their wedding. And Leanne and I had a dance. I paid $20 for it, and it was worth every single dollar of it. I participated in the dollar dance.
Mike, Governor. I always ask the deep questions of the governor. I said, "Governor, do you get to shovel your own driveway of snow?" And you don't get to do that, do you?
Only when I want to.
Okay. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you. No winner
this afternoon on Monogram Money, but it was a nice try. Governor, you did a good job, and stop back and see us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor. We're going to shift gears now to the early entertainers on KRVN. We'll turn it over to Craig Larson. Craig?
I think one little point that I do want to get across here, though, when KRVN went on the air the first time, there were a lot of listeners out there who were sitting by a dead radio waiting for that first sign-on. I happen to be related to some people from this territory by marriage, and they have often told me that that very first day they were sitting there, the radio was on, there was no signal, because, of course, the sun hadn't come up yet, so a daytimer like 1010 KRVN couldn't be on the air. But when it came on, the audience was there immediately. They'd been waiting for it.
And the prevailing knowledge was that this station may not be around for a while.
Well, that was the smart talk in the broadcast field. In those days, I was in eastern Nebraska, and yes, that was the... Nobody had ever thought that KRVN would see their first anniversary. But the years flew by, and KRVN stayed on the air. Years have gone, and the mind went with them.
Jerry, you were program director for what years at KRVN?
Oh, from about 62 to 73 or 4, somewhere in there. I had the honor to be the first voice on KRVN 880 when we did one of our test broadcasts at night from midnight to 2 a.m. when we were requesting mail and phone calls. If you hear us, let us know. And we actually got a postcard from Hawaii. You talk about a skip signal, that was one of the best.
Right now, let's share some memories we have, those of us that have worked here. I'll start off Auction Time has always been a popular program on KRVN. I'll never forget the day I was trying to sell the 92-year-old bulls. Get there early, 92 years old, they could be dead before you get them in the truck. And they come running in, you nitwit, that is 92-year-old bulls. So those things happen. Who else would like to pick up? Don, do you have a little story for us in there?
Well, Dave, I don't know. I remember the first day that I arrived in Lexington. It was been almost 28 years. Matter of fact, on March the 7th that I arrived, and I remember that I had worked at a little station in North Dakota, and it had been sold, and I had been looking for a job. Well, Max Brown called me and said, would I like to come and possibly, you know, for a job? And I said, well, I'd been around interviewing at different stations, and I hadn't had much luck finding anything. And I said, it's 500 miles from where I am, one way to where you are. And Max said to me, he says, well, Don, if you want the job, it's yours. I was in the car the next day driving down to Lexington, and I've been here for 28 years. So I remember that's most memory for me right now.
Hired sight unseen.
Yes, sight unseen.
That explains some things.
Yes, it does.
All right. Well, let's hear from Rex and from Jerry. Guys?
Well, you know, you're talking about sight unseen. Don't forget, in radio, it is sight unseen.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. You're talking about Auction Time. In the early days, all our Auction Time commercials were live. Mm-hmm. And you came in and you sat down and you read a long list of commercials. Well, we developed the practice of sorting the commercials out,
mm-hmm.
and every other one
yep.
went to another announcer who went into the news booth
yep.
and read every other one.
And he didn't get a chance to pick them, did he?
No, you got whatever you didn't. The board man took whatever he didn't want, and he gave it to the fellow in the other studio.
And you tried to make each other laugh.
Well, once in a while.
Oh, we didn't do it intentionally.
I remember Glenn Apple let my news on fire once.
Rex, you came down to KRVN after we went to 880, and you were up at a station somewhere north of here, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was up at WNEX at Yankton, South Dakota, and I was glad to see Max Brown come around and say they would like to talk to me about being a farm director. Well, of course, I didn't know much about the station, except that I knew that 50,000 watts of power was really what needed to be done for agriculture.
When he mentioned lighting someone's news copy on fire on the air, you should have seen the guilty look on Fred's face. Thanks, Ernie. That wraps up another Market Scope. Remember, I need Market Scope stuff. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Phil Wayne. Now here's Musings from the Members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
This is Danny Mandrell from Nashville, Illinois. I'm a new member, and I wanted to let everyone know I don't know if anyone is aware that the St. Louis market on FM has really gone upside down since the past October. 97.1, they used to be KXOK, The Rock. KXOK is no more as of October. Kix 106.5, WWKX, is no longer country. They are a smooth jazz format now.
This is Tim Hendel. Today, which is February 7th, I discovered a new Spanish language station. I can't exactly say in the area, but I can pick it up in the daytime on the super radio from here in Huntsville, Alabama, and that is 950 on the dial in Somerset, Georgia, which is in the western part of Georgia, almost to the Alabama state line, I think. I don't know what call this station is using, but it's 950 and it's in Spanish playing Mexican music. Interestingly enough, there's another station in that same town which is in Spanish. It's on 1180 and it does Spanish religion, has been doing so for several months. The coming of Spanish language radio to some of these small towns in the South is a new development in radio. that we haven't seen before and that is kind of interesting, I think.
Hi, this is Rusty Curry in Springfield, Oregon. I've got a few notes about Anchorage, Alaska Radio, since I just got back from there. The AM dial is kind of underdeveloped. There are 7 stations in the Anchorage area. 5 of them are lower than 750 or lower. The FM dial is more like a big city. I counted 21 stations. The range of programming is quite similar to what you'd find in Seattle, for instance. One unusual thing is there is actually a commercial FM station at 87.7. It plays alternative rock, and you can find it on the web at kznd.org. For a more of a musical variety, you might try www.knba.com. That's NBA, and as in November.
Yo, Fred, this is John Mulia from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I've been a long time and wanting to talk to you guys, but my work schedule has kept me kind of away from the telephone, although I work on the phone for Federal Express. One of the things, I do want to hear more about how you guys do your DXing. I live in an apartment, and we'd like to know what kind of equipment you use, and also as well as on the road. Right before Election Day here in Philadelphia, some of you may know this, and some may not. We had a talk station in Philadelphia at 96.5 WWDB. That is no more. It is now the point they call it. I don't know what the call letters are yet. I haven't been able to catch them, but there are no jocks there yet, and the AM went to 860, as you probably well know, to WWDB.
Hello, my fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. CJYE 1250 in Oakville, Ontario, took over at 6 o'clock in the morning on February the 5th as our first all-Christian radio station ever in southern Ontario. CHWO is now going solo at 740 with 50,000 watts and a dynamite signal. CJMR in Mississauga, still on 1320, has become an ethnic station. CKSL London 1410 has gone back to all oldies. That station has just about tried everything. I've had some great catches, too. Rochester, Minnesota on 1520, I've been getting about between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning with a Music of Your Life format that sounds very nice. And tonight, I picked up WOAI San Antonio on 1200. Now, that's the first time in about a year that I've really had it all that well. They were carrying a Spurs basketball game tonight, and I happened to catch it. I enjoyed the Harry Carey tribute on the Score 670 tonight. Also, there's a book being written by a couple about KMOX in St. Louis, the history of that station, so some of you might like to check that out. CKDO in Oshawa, Ontario, 1350, has gone back to an oldies format, but they're going to have quite a bit more talk starting next week. And Monday of this week just passing, CHML 900 in Hamilton went back to mostly talk radio from a more or less Music of Your Life format. I think CHWO on 740 sort of made them change their minds about trying to compete because they have a more extensive library.
Hi, Gary Kettler in Galveston, Texas, with a few notes of interest around this part of the world for the last few months. 1130 KWKH in Shreveport has gone Fox Sports. They did that somewhere around Christmas and New Year's, so in that area. I noticed it a day or two after New Year's. And one of the ironic things about it was they, from midnight to 5 or 6 or whatever, they run the Truckin' Bozo show. And the night I noticed it, they were running both the Truckin' Bozo show and Fox Sports Radio. And I noticed that they did that at least for 2 hours, and I was talking with another friend of mine, and he had heard them later on in the night, and apparently they ran both programs, for the whole 5 hours. Which will bring me to a pet peeve I have, but I'll get to that after a couple of other brief items. 1250 in Beaumont, Texas is now finally back on the air. They are KDEI, and they are part of the Radio Maria network, which is a Catholic-run network. There are at least 2 other stations on there. There were, last I heard them ID it, there was a 580 in Alexandria, which I think is now KJMJ, and there's an FM on 91.7 in Lake Charles, which is just right across the Louisiana border. from Texas. Those three stations are on that, and they may have added some others now since then. And 1190 in Dallas has gone from a, I think they call themselves Smoking Oldies 1190. They have gone all sports. Clear Channel, I guess, bought them, and they have gone all sports. And they run Jim Rome and, I guess, Fox Sports Radio. And a couple of, I guess, pet peeves that they're kind of related, and they have to do with the technical quality of programming. And I've noticed, and it's pretty common, that on some of these stations that play new music, there is a lot of that product that is in mono. You can hear the same songs on other stations in stereo, but and then on some stations you hear those same songs in mono. And I don't know, I don't understand why that is, why they're not paying attention. And it also seems that maybe the engineering talent may be spread too thin, because I have noticed that it takes a lot longer for things to get fixed.
Greetings, Bob Widman in Chicago, and I want to mention something which I think is a great loss, and that is another classical music station has gone down. WNIB and Chicago and WNIB Zion were sold in November to Bonneville International for a mere $165 million. And so about around January 12th or so, they changed to, I guess, a rock format. We don't know what it is yet, but because what they do is every day they feature a different artist, such as one day Barbara Streisand, the next day Garth Brooks, next day Rolling Stones, Beach Boys, Frank Sinatra, etc. But Bill and Sonia Florian operated WNIB for 45 years as a classical music station, and I felt very sad to see it go, but that's the way it is. Thank you for the magazine, Fred.
This is Russell Fry in Indianapolis, Indiana, and on the 15th of February, we had a major change in the Indianapolis radio market. As of February the 15th, WTLC, which had operated at 105.7 for 33 years, moved to 106.7, enabling MS Communications, who owned that frequency, to start a new format called Soft Rock. They are now presently doing 10,000 songs in a row, according to the local television and the media people that... on March the 12th, they will begin live programming, but right now they're just playing 10,000 songs in a row with some one-liners telling you Soft Rock WYXB, which is the call letters of the 105.7 station. WTLC now moves from a 50,000-watt signal to a 6,000-watt signal and is licensed to a suburb called Greenwood, which is just south of Indianapolis. But they do get a good signal throughout Indianapolis because their transmitter is in Marion County. So, that's the second radio station to change frequencies in the Indianapolis market. The Bear moved from 104.5 to 93.9 back in 1997, but on the 15th, WTLC, which was purchased by Radio 1, moved from 105.7 to 106.7, and 105.7 now became a soft rock station. WYXB, their slogan is B105.7, soft rock for a busy world. So that's what's happening in the Indianapolis market. Thank you.
And that's our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Remember, if you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. The telephone number is area code 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day for DX Audio Service members only. And on our DX Time Machine from the pages of DX News from 50 years ago, from the February 17th, 1951 DX News, Steve Mann from Westbury, New York, reported on the morning of February 19th that it was excellent for Brazilian stations, having heard PRF4 on 940, PRB9 on 1000, PRA8 on 720, and PRA2 on 800, while Ernie Cooper in Brooklyn, New York, logged PRA2 on 800 and PRG3 at 1280. On the following morning, Ernie logged PRE3 on 1180, PRE4 on 1300, and PRB2 on 1440. 25 years ago, from the March 1st, 1976 DX News, Ray Moore from Walpole, Massachusetts, reported that he finally caught the much-sought-after Peregrine station on 645. Got the ID on tape at 0800 on February the 6th. 10 years ago, from the February 25th, 1991 DX News, Nebraskans Neil Zank and Mike Hawk reported meeting each other at a get-together hosted by Ernie Wesolowski. Mike also reported acquiring a Hammerlin HQ-180A for $125, which seems to work well, except for the band selector, which occasionally needs a little wiggling. And 5 years ago, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, DX Audio Service member Dave Marthouse was about to purchase this radio station.
You're waking up with Marthouse in the Morning on WODI, AM 1230, your cool oldies and hot talk station in Brookneal, Virginia.
The Wake Up Crew, WODI, Brookneal.
WODI in Brookneal will celebrate its fifth anniversary under the management of Dave Marthouse on February 1st, 2002. And that is our DX Time Machine. Congratulations, Dave. We hope to see you at the Dayton Hamvention coming up in just a few months.
Hello again, sports fans. Ken Anischuk here in the Chicago area, DX Audio Service for March 2001. And with a little bit of everything going on except football, which just ended last Sunday, and baseball, which is about to start at the time you get this tape, there is hockey and basketball and soccer and what have you. And it's all going on to get your ears into that radio. Anyway, this month there's been some interesting stuff going on in the Chicago area recently, and I want to share it with you. Okay, got some IDs here for you to listen to. Last August 15th, 2000, WMAQ 670 signed off the air so that 1160 WSCR could take over the frequency. In place of WSCR, WXRT 93.1 moved over to the frequency on August the 15th that morning, and I got a little bit on tape. The station really didn't seem to care whether it was on AM radio, as far as I could tell. They had been on 93.1 for so long, but the AM was just, we're just here for a while, big deal. I got this tape here recently that I thought you'd hear.
9 p.m. on 1160 on January 27th, 2001.
I'm Frankie Lee. This is WXRT AM and FM Chicago. Tonight's Grateful Dead Hour is brought to you by SFX Entertainment, presenting The Residents at the Congress Theater on February 23rd.
Shortly after that, on February the 1st, Salem Communications took over the frequency and put their Christian programming on this station.
WILL time is 8:58, and time for Rogers Sports Spot on AM 1160. When the Chicago Bulls were in the midst of winning their sixth NBA championship in just 8 years, their general manager Jerry Krause at Rogers Sports Spot. WILL time is 8:59.
WILL AM Chicago. WILL FM Des Plaines, Chicago.
And there's one final idea I want to put on for you folks. Classical music on 97.1 in Chicago will die because Bonneville International has bought WNIB for an incredible $165 million. There's a lot of people who enjoy this format, but because it doesn't produce the revenue necessary, it's going to have to change format in about another week. So, one ID, and then we'll get to some sports.
Who said the only instrument better than one guitar is two guitars? And you were listening to guitar music by the Mexican composer Andres David Ramirez, waltz number 2 with the guitarist Elias Barrero at 8 o'clock. This is Morning Song on WNIB Chicago, WNIZ Zion, Classical 97. I'm Obi Yadgar. Good Morning News is next. After that, we'll turn to Rimsky-Korsakov and music from Scheherazade.
Okay, DXers, now I'll switch to spring training. By the time you get this tape, it'll be spring training started with 10 games starting on Thursday, March the 1st. First in Arizona, the Milwaukee Brewers will play on 620 WTMJ with Bob Uecker and Jim Powell at Maryvale Baseball Park down there. The Cubs on 720 WGN, Ron Santo and Pat Hughes on Hohokam Park in Mesa. San Diego Padres on 600 KOGO in Peoria, Arizona. And Seattle will play in the same ballpark on 710 KIRO. Next, Oakland will be playing on cable, 960. I don't know if they've renewed the contract yet. I need more information. They'll play at Phoenix Municipal Stadium. San Francisco on 680 KNBR, and most likely they'll bump the Warriors off the frequency at times. They'll play at Scottsdale Stadium. Anaheim Angels on 570 KLAC, and it's up to ownership to decide who's going to play when. The Angels or the Lakers, and they'll play at Tempo Diablo Stadium. Next, the Colorado Rockies on 850 KOA, and they'll play at High Corbett Field in Tucson. And the White Sox and the Arizona Diamondbacks both play at Tucson Electric Park. Of course, the White Sox on ESPN 1000 WMVP and the Diamondbacks on 620 KTAR. Moving over to Florida, the teams, Kansas City Royals on 980 KMBZ at Baseball City in Davenport. Pirates on 1020 KDKA at McKechnie Field in Bradenton. Philadelphia Phils, I've read nothing if they renewed their contract with WPHT, but they'll play at Jack Russell Stadium in Clearwater. Atlanta Braves on 750 WSB. No idea what happens when the Hawks are playing. Somebody's going to move over, and they'll play at Walt Disney World in Kissimmee. Toronto Blue Jays on 1050. I haven't heard whether CHUM has renewed the contract, but they'll play at Dunedin Stadium. Baltimore Orioles 1090 WBAL, and they'll play at Fort Lauderdale Stadium. Boston Red Sox 850 WEEI. We'll see what happens when the Celtics play, who gets bumped, and they'll play at City of Palms Park in Fort Myers. Minnesota Twins, I haven't read if WCCO has renewed the contract, but most likely. And they'll play at Hammond Stadium in Fort Myers also. St. Louis Cardinals, 1120 KMOX, just signed a new contract. They'll play at Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, as will Montreal, which I haven't read a thing about contracts, but probably 7:30 CKC will do it in French. We'll learn more as time goes on. Houston Astros, 7:40 KTRH, and at Osceola County Stadium in Kissimmee. I think the Rockets play there on 7:40 also. Someone's going to get bumped. Detroit Tigers on 1270 WXYT, the new sports home. And they play, the Tigers will be at Joker Merchant Stadium in Lakeland. Texas Rangers on 1080 KRLD at Charlotte County Stadium in Port Charlotte. The New York Mets on 660 WFAN, and someone's going to have to get bumped when the Knickerbockers are on. They'll play at Thomas White Stadium in Port St. Lucie. Cincinnati Reds on 700 WLW, and they'll play at Ed Smith Stadium in Sarasota. Tampa Bay, well, wherever they are, I forgot, John Bowker, because they got so many nicknames down there. 970 WFLA, they'll play at L. Lang Stadium in St. Pete. The New York Yankees on 770 WABC, and they'll play at Legends Field in Tampa. Los Angeles Dodgers, 1150 KXTA. They'll play at Holman Stadium in Vero Beach. The Florida Marlins, I thought they're going to change their name to Miami, but I haven't heard that officially. 560 WQAM, they'll play at Space Coast Stadium in Vieira. And finally, Cleveland Indians will play on 1100 WTAM at Chain of Lakes Park in Winter Haven. Hey, I've used up enough time on this tape. I'll be back next month with more, and take it away, Fred.
Thanks, Ken. Now let's turn our ears toward news and a story in Broadcast Rural Services, report number 85, titled Commission orders technical standards waived to preserve AM allotment after license revoked. In a petition for reconsideration of its decision affirming a license revocation, the Federal Communications Commission upholds the revocation of the license of Chameleon Radio Corporation, refuses to allow it to sell the license, but preserves AM service for the community by directing the Mass Media Bureau to waive the current technical standards to allow a new qualified licensee to operate in KFCC AM's existing service area. The penalty of revocation was not too harsh, where Chameleon's principal made numerous representations to the commission and lacked candor concerning a request for special temporary authorization, the agency asserts. The commission is not persuaded by Chameleon's argument that given the, quote, uniqueness of the station's multilingual format, unquote, revocation would not serve the public interest. A different result was not warranted since, quote, honesty and trustworthiness are fundamental obligations of commission licenses, unquote, the FCC declares. After rejecting Chameleon's proposed assignment, the commission turned to the preservation of the allotment for the community. Under current technical standards, future allocation of KFCC AM's frequency in the Bay City area, with parameters replicating KFCC's service area, would likely be impossible if the station's authorization is terminated, the agency concedes. The station both receives and produces overlap from first adjacent station KWHI, interference which was previously allowed, but now prohibited under FCC Rule 73.37A, a waiver of the revised technical standard to permit replication of KFCC's current service area would serve the public interest, the commission decides. Quote, significant rural areas are encompassed within station KFCC's current service area. The permanent loss of a existing AM station to those residing in or visiting these areas would not serve the public interest. We therefore direct the Mass Media Bureau to waive Section 73.37A and other pertinent technical standards as necessary to permit a new station licensed to operate on 1270 kHz to replicate KFCC AM's existing service area, unquote. It further directs the Bureau to solicit applications under the competitive bidding process for a new AM station on that frequency so that the service now provided by KFCC can be provided by a new qualified licensee.
Listen up to the DX Audio Service.
And before we wrap up this edition of the DX Audio Service, I'd like to pass along a few bits of information to you. You know, not a week goes by that I don't see something in our AM at nrcdxas.org email list about a radio station which may be operating on day power during the nighttime, or at least day facilities during the nighttime. And while it's great for the DXer because you get to hear a new station and put it in your log, unfortunately it's not too good for the poor guys who are operating and playing by the rules, because those stations get a lot of interference. Such was the case last week when I received an email from the chief engineer of a 50,000-watt clear channel station up in New England, who was saying that he was wondering if I knew anything about who might be interfering with his station. They were getting a lot of complaints from listeners up in the New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, I mean, all over the area up there in the New England states. Well, it didn't take too much detective work, because in their email list, a lot of DXers were reporting a station down south as operating on significantly higher power during the nighttime. How high a power? Well, they're about 800 miles away from here, and I can hear them very well in the car anywhere in Lima. That should give you an idea of how strong their signal is. Well, Kevin Redding posted an email address. If you feel so compelled to tip off the FCC that a station is not operating correctly, you can send a message to complaints-enf@fcc.gov. That's complaints-enf at fcc.gov. Be sure you put in the message some good details. Don't just say, this station is operating and it's operating bad, because they won't take your email seriously. Above all, be nice when you write to the Federal Communications Commission. Remember, if somebody writes to you and just comes off like they're about ready to take your head off, well, you don't take them too seriously, and neither will the FCC take you seriously. So be professional, and you can write them and let them know what's going on. And speaking of complaints, no, I don't have a complaint. I just want to keep you from complaining. About a year ago, I mentioned that I'd like to get the phone numbers for DX Audio Service members. And this is not to put together a database for telemarketers, or to give your phone number out to somebody, or for me to pester you. What it's for is, in case we have a problem with your tape, we can get in contact with you. I've got several members' tapes sitting on my desk here, which have come back from the Postal Service with not a clue why the address is not relevant anymore. And, of course, what I have to do in this case, since I don't have a phone number, is just wait for the member to start complaining about where their tape is. So it would really help if I get your phone number. Just send it on a card or a letter to the address here at DX Audio Service headquarters. Of course, it's always printed on the cassette. Or you can send it to me on my email address, which is fredv, F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And if you're concerned about your privacy, well, let me tell you, so am I. I value my privacy, and I value your privacy. If somebody calls and says, hey, give me Joe's phone number, I won't give them the phone number. If they really need to get in contact with you, I'll take the information, and then I'll mail it to you, and then you can decide whether or not you want to get in contact with them. But I do not give out phone numbers. I do not give out addresses. But I do like to have phone numbers just in case we have a problem. Well, here's a problem, and that is we haven't put out a After Dark cassette series in, gosh, how long? After Dark number 10 was the last one that we put out, and we're going to be putting out After Dark number 11 probably by the time we go to press next month. After Dark number 11 is two cassettes, and it comes in a cassette, double cassette package. On it, we'll have some information such as the Grundig Millennium 800 receiver review. Also, Tim Hendel has some words for us. And I got a great interview with Dr. James C. Faust, who's a professor at Bowling Green State University. He wrote a book called Big Voices on the Air, The Battle Over Clear Channel Radio. This book is extremely interesting, and I talked with Professor Faust for about a half an hour in his office at Bowling Green State University, and I think you'll find it interesting. After Dark number 11 is two cassettes, $5 for U.S. addressees. Anyone else, please contact the Publication Center for rates and details. And finally, before we skedaddle out of here, I need to thank a few people. As many of you know, I built my first professional studio back in 1977. And a lot of that equipment stayed with me until just recently, when I redesigned and rebuilt the new studio here that I'm in now. And I have to thank a few people for their help in giving me information and a little guidance in a few things. First of all, let's thank Mark Dernberger, who tipped me off to a new program for editing, desktop computer editing. I'd used a program called FastEdit for many years in the production of the DX Audio Service. He tipped me off to SoundForge, and although it's a heck of a learning curve for this old buzzard, it's turning out to be a great program for being able to put together the tapes. So thank you, Mark. Also need to thank Kelly Prescott, who is the systems administrator for WCOIL. Helped me put together a computer system that runs on a operating system called Linux. And this particular computer has a CD-ROM writer in it, and it allows me to take and make CDs from our audio programs, which we're making all the backups and sending them to Wayne Heinen in Aurora, Colorado. So if we ever have a problem here, the house gets taken down by a tornado, we don't lose all our issues. There's issues of the DX Audio Service at some other location. But Kelly helped put together this computer system. I thank him very much, and I also use this to supplement my oldies record collecting hobby. Actually, taking records and making them into CDs. So thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. And that wraps up this edition of the DX Audio Service. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out there and support radio. It's great to listen to. 73 and good DX.
WLW Cincinnati.